Hello, St. Mark. Welcome to Phoenix in November. Man, we're finally here. It's finally starting to get cool. This is awesome stuff. The craziness of our world still continues, but it just makes me more and more excited to share this series with you on love and sort of kind of reframes what we should be doing versus what we're seeing everywhere else. And so today I want to pick up with another theme. Love is not rude. Now, the way I want to begin this today is I just think we've seen a lot of stories like this in the news lately. A lady in Cambridge, Massachusetts, was told by a bus driver, of all things, that she couldn't smoke on the bus. Can you believe that? Well, she got so upset, she actually beat him repeatedly with an umbrella. There was another man in Atlanta in a restaurant, and he was told that the wait for a table would be over 2 hours. So, of course, he slugged the hostess. A gas meter reader in Houston, Texas, went to check the home gas meter of somebody, right? And as he was doing that, he was shot in the stomach with a pellet gun by the resident repeatedly. I mean, there's no doubt about it today. Rudeness is on the rise. People are more abusive to each other. The fitness includes physically and verbally than maybe at any other time in our history, at least that we can remember. And as a result, it seems that common courtesy maybe isn't so common anymore. For example, what do you feel is the form of rudeness that just irritates you the most? I want you to get the picture of that in your head right now. To help you, I'm going to give you maybe the top five forms of rudeness that irritate people the most, at least according to this magazine I was reading. Counting backwards, number five, people who phone you and ask, "Who's this?" You called me. What are you asking me for? Before identifying themselves. Or along with that, people who text you and don't identify themselves. You're like, "I don't know who's calling me. I don't know any numbers anymore." All right, number four, people who slurp their soup. Soup should be seen and not heard. At least that's what my mom says. Number three, people who honk their horn in a traffic jam that is going nowhere. I mean, what good does it do to honk your horn when you're not going to go any place at any time? It just irritates everybody around you. Number two, people who take more than 10 items through the express lane checkout at the grocery store. I mean, who do they think they are, right? And the number one thing that irritates people most, at least according to this magazine I was reading, is people who come from the opposite direction and steal a parking spot that you were obviously and patiently waiting for. So the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, "Love is not rude." Phillips' translation actually says, "Love has good manners." But maybe especially today we ask the question, what is rudeness? And the answer is this. It's simply a lack of respect for other people. Rudeness reveals that I could care less about you, that I'm only thinking about myself. You could actually summarize rudeness in one word. It is selfishness, the thing we talked about last week. And the world today is getting more and more rude. But the Bible says something different. It says love is not rude, which is like the opposite of what we've been seeing on the news and culture, maybe over the course of this whole year. So God shows us the remedy for all this rudeness in 1 Peter 2, verse 17. He says this, "Show proper respect to everybody." Now that includes your kids or your husband, your wife, the jerk at work, people you don't even know, your mother-in-law. It includes Democrats, it includes Republicans, unbelievers, atheists, government. I mean, it includes everybody. Why? Well, there's two big reasons that God gives. First reason is this. Because Jesus died for everybody. In 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, it says this, "God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious blood of Jesus." And you know what? That should, I mean, show you in a very clear terms how valuable people are to him, even people you don't care for. The cross shows how valuable God considers people. Now, I may not think much about that person, but God does. In fact, he thought enough about them that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for him on the cross. So Jesus is now going to be watching you to see how you treat people that he died for. In Matthew 25, it says this, that at the judgment, we're going to be judged, actually judged by how we treated other people, by how we loved other people. He says this, "I was sick and you came and you visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was in prison and you visited me. And we'll be saying to him, Lord, you know, when do we do all that for you? And Jesus said, anytime you did it for one of the least of these, you did it for me. That's how important it is to God. Jesus died for everybody. And God created everybody. So he wants you to love him and not be rude to him for sure. Second reason, because it shows that you know who God is, right? It shows that you know him personally. How do I know if you're a real believer? I look at your relationships. In 1 John 4:8, it says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it just shows that he doesn't know who God is. Why? Because God is love. I may have all the doctrines and all the beliefs straight, all the Bible verses down, but if I don't have love, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't count. But as you watch Jesus, I mean, why was he gracious with people? He protected people's dignity. The Pharisees one time brought a lady to him who'd been caught in the act of adultery, and that was a big no-no. It still is, but it was huge back in the day. They threw her at the feet of Jesus, and they were incredibly rude people. They had all the doctrine right, right? She should be condemned, but their rudeness was just palatable. And Jesus, the first thing he does as they do this was to protect her dignity. He defended her in front of all of them, and he said this, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. They end up one by one all walking away from Jesus. And then in privacy of the one-on-one conversation, he actually dealt with the lady's sin. Jesus even gave respect to the most disrespected people in the society. The Pharisees, man, they couldn't handle that. They wanted to rage against them. They wanted to blame them. They wanted to be better than them. And they said this in Luke 15:2, this guy parties then with sinners. He eats with them. The most disrespected people were the tax collectors. Boy, were they hated because of their allegiance to Rome. Prostitutes were hated. Lepers were hated. The scripture says he befriended all of them. He didn't approve of their sin. That's something we need to learn to be better at. But he loved them, and that's something we need to learn to be better at. He treated them with dignity and with respect, and the Pharisees, they couldn't handle that. If that's the way Jesus treated people, then if Jesus Christ is really like me, doesn't it make sense that that's the way I should treat other people in my life? And the answer is yes to that. You may have all your right beliefs, but if you're not right, you're rude, you're wrong. Love is not rude, though. That's what God says. And he who doesn't have love doesn't know God. So let me give you this morning. Let me give you three ways on how to give and get respect from other people. It's going to make you different than everybody else, but I'm telling you, this is a huge thing for you and for the people that you love around you. First thing is this. When you speak to people, be tactful. Not just truthful, but tactful too. I start with speaking because the primary way that we are rude to other people is in the way that we speak our words. In Proverbs 15:33, it says, what a joy it is to find just the right word for just the right occasion. What he's talking about here is tact. Tactfulness is thinking before you speak. Man, if you are an extrovert, you struggle with this because you're just always speaking, but we've got to learn to think, engage our minds before we open our mouth. Because there is a way you speak that the way you say it enhances it or detracts from it. You can say the same thing 5 or 6 different ways and it will be received by the other person in 5 or 6 different ways, even though it's the same words. And so if you're going to learn relationships, the secret of effective relationships, the foundation is tactfulness. That's the key. If you want good people skills, you need to develop tactfulness. Learn how to say things in the right way. Tactfulness is kind of a relational lubrication. It minimizes friction between other people. Somebody once said this, when you use tact, you have less to retract. Kind of like that. Because you think first. I can't overestimate the importance of tactfulness. And yes, Christians are called to be truthful. They're called, though, also to do it in love, to be tactful too. If the Bible were to define tact, I'd say it's Ephesians 4, right? It says this, speaking the truth in love. When you speak to people, be tactful, be loving, not just truthful. Proverbs 15:4 says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. People who say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's just not true. Names do hurt. And sometimes they hurt worse than sticks or stones. You can break a physical bone and it will heal in a matter of weeks, maybe a matter of months at times. But somebody who has been wounded emotionally, sometimes it takes years for those scars to kind of heal over. It hurts more when we wound people emotionally than when we do physically. And so we need to be tactful as well as truthful. We need to care about their spirit as much as we care about their behavior. Here's another one. When you disagree with people, be gentle, not just judgmental. As a Christian, I think there's lots of things in this world I would disagree with. I mean, there's tons of them. A lot of things that happen, a lot of lifestyles, a lot of behaviors that are just flat out wrong according to Scripture. There's a lot that takes place in this world that I just disagree with. I don't even agree with everything you do, and you're a Christian. We don't agree with each other. But am I supposed to run around as a personal policeman, trying always to please unbelievers? No. Romans tells us what we're supposed to do. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block in another person's way. Two things I need to remember when I disagree with another person, whether it's their behavior or it's their standards or whatever it might be. First thing is this. I need to realize that every one of us is going to give an account of themselves to God someday. I mean, all of us are. And the second thing I need to remember is that I'm not God. They're not going to give an account to me. There was an old Saturday Night Live episode, actually, when Chevy Chase used to come on and do the news show, and he'd say this. He says, I'm Chevy Chase, and you're not, right? And when I saw that, I'd think of God saying, you know, I'm God, and you're not. I think that's one of the most important lessons that you'll ever learn. He's God and you're not. The unbelieving world around us is not accounting to me. They're accountable to God and they're going to have to give an account one day. But the reality is I'm not God. Even Christians disagree with other Christians on major issues like if the carpet should be red or green or if the shade should be up or down or, you know, if we have chairs in the back of the church or what have you, right? All sorts of major issues. But here's the thing. We can disagree even about major issues like these, and we can do so without being disagreeable, right? We can just have it as a disagreement and not vilify the other side or the other person. But oddly, not everybody seems to want to practice that. For example, the Christian book market has found a market, an actual market for books by Christians who attack other Christians. I think that's so sad. I mean, the unbelieving world must look at that and just, I guess, marvel that we'd be shooting our own, right? Some of it's true, actually, but they do it in such a rude and unloving way, it's wrong. I think the world sets back and just laughs at us shooting at each other in this way, but love is not rude. And finally, I'll give you a third way. When you share your faith with people, respect them and don't reject them. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 is one of the key verses that our church is trying to build on. It says this, be tactful with those who are not Christians. Talk to them agreeably with the flavor of wit and try to fit your answers to the needs of each one. Just saying be tactful. And it's amazing how some people can take the most positive message in the world, the news of Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel, and turn it into somehow a negative message. They beat people over the head with the gospel. How do they do that? I'm not really sure. But a lot of evangelism is sort of a subtle put down. I'm saved and you're not. I'm good and you're bad. I'm up and you're down. Sometimes it's not even so subtle, actually. Billy Graham's definition of evangelism is this. Evangelism is sharing the good news. It's like one beggar telling another beggar where to get the bread. I mean, that's it. That I'm no better than anybody else, but I found some things, and I want to share them with you. And when you share your faith, you need to respect people, not just reject them. As a pastor, sometimes I'm just embarrassed by some of the tirades that I see these TV preachers doing, blasting away in anger in a condemning manner, so self-righteous. And the whole message really becomes one giant put down to the watcher. It's no wonder some people don't understand the love of God when they start seeing stuff like that. I wouldn't understand it either if that's all I listened to. But Jesus never spoke that way to people. He was kind and gentle and generous and respectful. Now, I mean, the Pharisees spoke like that from time to time, but Jesus didn't accept on one occasion to them. Notice it says, when you share, try to fix your answers to the needs of each one. And so you start with their needs because you care about them. In 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says, if anyone asks you why you believe as you do, be ready to tell them and do it in a gentle and respectful way. And when you share, let your light shine. It doesn't say be a blowtorch. You don't burn people into heaven. It's kind of the opposite thing. So I want to encourage you to join me in a war against rudeness. The more machines act like people, the more people are beginning to act like machines. As the world becomes more and more crowded, and people become more and more busy, and the stress level just goes up. And it goes up more and more and more, and as it does, people seem to be choosing to be rude because they got the focus just on them. Studies have shown that the more stress people have, the more stressed their job is, the schedule is, the more rude they tend to be. And with the corona, the recent elections, and all the other crazy going on, we are experiencing this all very much firsthand. So I want to challenge you to join me in a polite revolution where we actually care about the feelings and lives and hearts of others. Let's all work on this together because love, God says, is not rude. It's polite. It's caring. It's loving. The one thing you're going to be judged for is how you treated other people. And I want St. Mark to be the most polite, courteous church family in the world where people can come to St. Mark family. And I want them to say, man, they just love people there. It doesn't matter where you are or what you look like. They're just friendly there. They just care about you when you come through the doors. They give up their seats and let you in the parking lot. They're just super friendly there. I don't know. Because that's what God wants us to be. Because when we do this, when we show them our love in this way, you give them a glimpse of Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's no greater love than that. Especially when you give a glimpse to a world that is craving for the things that he offers. Love, forgiveness, strength, hope, and heaven. Guys, go with this encouragement today. Start to view your relationships differently. I mean, all the way through this series, we've been talking about get the focus off of us, right? And putting it on the people that God has placed in our lives, people that he's put there for us to touch with the name of Jesus. And so go forth with that encouragement. And let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus today. And as we kind of go through this whole series on love, let it just affect us in ways that change the way we sort of act toward others. I mean, because we're no different. We get consumed by the moment. We get consumed with the busyness. We get consumed with the focus on ourselves, and we just lose sight, even if it's just for a few moments. We lose sight of the others in our life, and it's in those moments that we say we do some of the dumbest things. Help us get a rein on our tongue. Help us think before we speak or before we act. And let us start showing people more of Jesus and less of our dysfunction. Father, that's our prayer today. We pray this. We pray for this strength, for this forgiveness in the name of Jesus today. And all God's people said, amen.